Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause. The way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 one is shot, who's to blame? Headline, front page, and rap, the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Sugar Brothers, life, what a knife. That's cause he died of trifling death when he left his very last breath. Was I slept, so watch your step. Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gangbang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man. Cause that's
self-destruction.
Funky fresh dress to impress, ready to party. Money in your pocket, dying to move your body. To get inside, you pay the whole $10. Got safe with a razor blade, tape to your collar. Leave the guns in the crack and the knobs alone. MC lights on the microphone. Bum rushing and pushing, snatching and taxing. I crammed understand why brothers don't be maxing. There's only one disco, they'll close one more. You ain't guarding the door, so what you got a gun for? Do you rob the rich and give to the poor? Yo, daddy-o. School to the moon.
Straight from the mouth. And daddy-o. End up in jail, it gotta go. Cause you could do crime and get paid today, and tomorrow you're behind bars in the worst way.
Far from your family,
cause you're locked away.
Now tell me,
do you really think crime pays?
Even on taking what your brother has?
You little sucker, you talking all that jazz.
It's time to stand together in a unity. Cause if not, then we're soon to be self-destroyed, unemployed. C-rap race will be lost without a trace or a clue, but what to do is stop the violence and kick the science. Down the road that we call eternity, where knowledge is formed and you learn to be self-sufficient, independent. To teach the East is what rap intended, but society wants to invade. So do not walk this path that they laid it.
Self-destruction.
Call them animals. I don't agree with them. I'll prove them wrong. But right is what you're proving them. Take keys before I leave to what I'm saying, or we'll all be on our knees praying.
A heavy beat, deep in the heart of the matter. The self-destruction is served on a platter. Making a day, not failing to anticipate. They got greedy, so they fell for the bait. That makes them a victim, picked and plucked. New jack in jail, but just the vets, they're a duck. There's no one around, cause in jail, you're a number. They never took the time to wonder about
self-destruction.
Yes, we urge to merge. We live for the love of our people to hope they get along. Getting a point to our brothers and sisters who don't know the time.
Boy, so we run around.
Setting your head, you know our job to build and collect ourselves with intellect. To revolve, to evolve to self-respect.
Cause we got to keep ourselves in check, or else it's
self-destruction.
Thank you for tuning in to We Talk Productions, one of the only platforms talking about black problems and black solutions. You're listening to the show, The Elephant in the Room, and I'm your host, Shaka Zulu, a.k.a. Jamarin Harris. Tonight's episode, I had created, we're dealing with the financial freedom and the coming economic collapse. And I have a special guest that I'm featuring tonight by the name of Karen Johnson Gilliam. She's a CEO at Destined to Be Me by Design, and she's also an affiliate of Carrot Bars. And you can go and check that out through carrotbars.com. And so before I get to her, y'all know how I like to do every week, every Wednesday on The Elephant in the Room. I like to, you know, black folks, you know, we visual people. A lot of us don't like to read and especially listening to something, you know what I'm saying, other than me talking. And so So what we're focusing on tonight is the coming economic collapse. Now, what happened in 2008 with the recession, a lot of black folks didn't really feel that crunch in the way in which a lot of other people did. Why? Because we were born in a recession. We don't have too much ownership. A lot of us don't own much of anything. And so we didn't suffer from, some of us suffered from the subprime loans, from the home, the mortgages or whatever, but a lot of us didn't suffer. But the recession has nothing on what's about to happen. And it's been 11 years now. That's the longest gap after a recession happened in the country to where the economy has not collapsed yet. Let me say that again. Since 2008, from 2008 to 2019 is 11 years. That's 11 years. That's the longest time span after a recession, after a country's economy suffered from a recession, that they haven't had a collapse yet. Like, because normally countries have recessions and then they totally collapse a few months, a few years later, and we're still going. You see, and a lot of us don't know the ramifications of not knowing this information because school, I call school the education system. I actually wrote a book called The Dark Side of America's School System, and it explains all this. And school is what does this to people. And I emphasize on it because when you're in social studies class, they talk about a whole bunch of nothing. And a whole bunch of it, you got to study it. And what happens as a result, the child becomes bombarded and they become overwhelmed to where they have a disdain for reading and researching. And so, you know, I got a sister up here. She's going to break some things down of, you know, some solutions to this problem. Because what's about to happen when this economy crashes and all these rappers showing all these money phones and all this money that they flashing, they don't understand what's about to happen. Those dollars are not going to be worth the paper that it's written on. And a lot of people can't fathom that thought because this is the big, bad USA and nothing can happen to us, you know, but we don't understand. And this is what happened to a lot of people in a lot of other countries, right? We don't understand the power of a dollar. We don't understand it is not backed by anything. We don't understand the history of the Federal Reserve. We don't understand the basics. All we see is the politicians up there talking about balancing the budget. Something about the deficit. They don't never say nothing about the debt. They just say something about the deficit and balancing the budget. And so I wanted to read this real quick before I get to my two clips that I'm going to play, and I'm going to get to the guests in a few minutes. So I wanted to read this just to give people a kind of an idea of what I'm talking about in terms of how the dollar has lost its power. Now, this right here is called Remembering What a Buck Could Buy You for Dummies. Or whatever, it's a website, right? So I'm going to read a few of them, right? These are all things that a dollar could buy you in the 60s. And I'm reading this for a reason. All right, 3 gallons of gas. A dollar could get you 3 gallons of gas back in the 60s. People pulled up to the gas pump and actually said to the attendant, give me a dollar worth. In 1965, the amount could get quite far. That amount could get you quite far because the gas was only 31 cents a gallon. And it was up to 35 cents a gallon by 1969. Now, let me read another one. You could get 21st class postage stamps. Now, I remember because I do credit repair, and I buy booklets all the time, and it costs $11 for 20 first class stamps, postage stamps. So in 1963, you could send letters to 20 friends for $1. Or if you didn't have a whole lot to say, you could send 25 postcards. But by 1968, prices went up. It cost 5 cents to send postcards and 6 cents to send letters. Okay, that was then. All right, a hamburger. A hamburger with fries, a salad, and a dessert. You could get that for $1. In 1965, you could score a meal of a double-decker burger for $1. If you wanted to, you could go out to dinner. You could eat at Oscar's, a family restaurant chain in California. And for $1, you could get a double-decker hamburger with fries, salad, and ice cream for dessert. For only 30 cents more, you could get a complete fried chicken or shrimp dinner, also with fries and salad. Pie was only 35 cents a slice, and ice cream sundae was 40 cents. And coffee and soft drinks was 10 cents. I remember I put on Facebook one day a menu board of McDonald's in the 1970s, you know, and it had like Big Macs, 10 cents, and things like that. And so I just wanted to read that. And just to give people that doesn't understand a perspective on the value of the dollar, how the dollar has lost its purchasing power. And like now you buy more for less. Now you go into the store, you might want a bag of chips. The bag of chips is halfway filled up, and it costs more. It costs more money. So we pay more for less now. And our children is going to suffer. These millennials born around 1998, the year 2002, they are going to suffer the most. So let me continue when we get to that with the caller, with the special guest. So I want to play this clip real quick, y'all. This is what our people suffer from. Not our people, just black people. This is what a lot of people in this country and over the world. Because this is going to be a global economic collapse. This is not just going to be in the United States. This is going to be global because the United States has the world reserve currency. And that's because it used to be backed by gold. That's what made it the gold, the world reserve currency, because it was backed by gold. But now it's the petrodollar. Because Russia and China, they started doing bilateral trading with each other back in 2011. And for people that doesn't understand bilateral trading, that's just discussions and talks and agreements between two people, two parties, or two countries. And they stopped using the dollar. They started just using the ruble and the yen. And they cut out the dollar, but they only still deal with the dollar because they have to convert it to a dollar when they get oil, because that's the petrodollar. And so we got to understand that this stuff ain't no, I don't like collard greens, I don't like spaghetti. No, everybody needs to be talking about this, because your lives, your very lives and your children's lives are going to be affected by it. And so my job as an individual, and like the sister that I'm about to bring on in a few minutes, our job is to raise the consciousness and the awareness of people, no matter what color you are. It's just to raise the awareness of people and what's going on and what's coming. So I'm going to play this first one. It's basically normalcy bias, how people, they think the normal way of life is going to be the same and things will never change and nothing can happen. And then the catastrophe happened and then they go crazy and they don't know what to do. People start killing themselves. So check this out. You will see where I'm going with it. A lot of people suffer from this. It's 3 minutes. Check it out.
It ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure, but just ain't so. Mark Twain. Normalcy bias is when people underestimate the possibility of a disaster and the possible effects of that disaster. Everything is fine today. That is our illusion. Voltaire. Normalcy bias is a direct result of people failing to question things, blindly obeying authority, or failing to apply logic to a new set of information. This ignorance is bliss mentality is so dangerous during times of upheaval, as they fall into a false sense of security. This leads to no urgency to take massive dramatic action in the face of crisis. History has shown over and over again that just when things seem so peaceful, it is only because that they are so controlled. This is a natural precursor to things exploding out of control. The worst lies are the lies we tell ourselves. We live in denial of what we do and even what we think. We do this because we're afraid. Richard Bach. Normalcy bias is not only true on a personal level, but on all levels of society. This is a major cause of systemic failure, since those that are in power assume that they are masters of the universe and that everything is fine. Normalcy bias is the idea that since disaster has never happened, it will never occur. Or in the case of those who own our paradigm, they believe that they have the power to manage disaster with the power of the media, military, or the printing press. The problem of the crisis we are going to face is going to be unlike any other in human history, with the worldwide, mathematically inevitable collapse of currencies and paper assets. Those that are in power think that it's going to be another 2008, and that if they just print enough money, they can get their way out of anything. The money that they're going to print will actually cause the major shift in paper assets. The people this time around will realize that they cannot trust anybody. The markets are rigged, segregated brokerage accounts are stolen, titles on properties are unclear, and most importantly, the currency in which all these assets are measured in has terminal cancer. This will result in quadrillions of paper assets trying to rush into anything that's real. This rush of digital fiat cash into anything that's real will result in the system being broken. Those that are holding any real assets at the time of the crisis will eventually not accept any paper for their real assets. When this happens, it will disrupt every aspect of your life and neuter any control that the elite may have over the situation. This normalcy bias also has dramatic effects on the people even after a new reality smacks them in the face. People with a normalcy bias will have an incredibly hard time reacting to a new reality. They will not be able to question what they see with their eyes with logic. They cannot believe that they or those that were in power were so wrong. They will waste precious time dealing with the fact that they were so wrong, and this often results in self-destructive behavior. As people do come to terms with this new reality, it will naturally lead into the anger phase of the awakening, where the emotional response from those that are completely unprepared will override any logical response from the elite or anyone else for that matter. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And where it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. Frank Herbert.
All right. Now let me get to this next clip. I'm going to go ahead and get to this next clip because I got to get to the special guest. And it's very important that I play this clip. Now this right here is 5 minutes. It's the last clip I'm going to play, but it's very, very important. Very important that we understand what's about to happen. It, like, we just totally don't understand because school has totally miseducated us. And what we think is up is down, down is up, in is, like, it's totally crazy. And so that's what it's very important that we buy gold. It's very important that we buy silver and we have the answers to it. And we will find this out later in a few minutes when the sister come on. So check this out. It's 5 minutes and some change. It's basically what will happen in the places not to be when the dollar collapse. I want to paint a picture because at the end of the day, it's just showing you. I'm showing you how isn't why it's so important to think ahead of time before something happens. It's good to always be prepared. Before anything happens, it's always good to be prepared. You can't just shun people and like, I don't believe that. The government is not going to let that happen. That's the way that they want you to think. So check this out.
Collapse will be the single largest event in human history. This will be the first event that will touch every single living person in the world. All human activity is controlled by money. Our wealth, our work, our food, our government, even our relationships are affected by money. No money in human history has had as much reach in both breadth and depth as the dollar. The dollar is the de facto world currency. All other currency collapses will pale in comparison to this big one. All other currency crises have been regional, and there have been other currencies for people to grasp onto. This collapse will be global, and it will bring down not only the dollar, but all other fiat currencies, as they are fundamentally no different. The collapse of currencies will lead to the collapse of all paper assets, and the repercussions to this will have incredible results worldwide. Thanks to globalization and the giant vampire squids of the Anglo-American Empire, the dollar is the world's reserve currency. It supports the world economy in settling foreign trade, most importantly the petrodollar trade. The money is then recycled through the City of London, not to be confused with London, and Wall Street. This fuels corporate vampires that acquire and harvest the world's wealth. The corporate powers then suppress real assets like natural resources and labor to provide themselves massive profits.
This fascist, statist, collectivist model provides the money into the economy to fund an ever-increasing federal government. The government then grows larger and larger, enriching its minions with jobs to control their fellow citizens. Finally, to come full circle, the government then controls other nations through its military-industrial complex. This cycle will be cut when the mathematically inevitable collapse of the dollar happens. In order for our debt-based money to function, we must increase debt every year in excess of the debt and interest accrued the year before, or we will enter a deflationary debt spiral. When debt is created, money is created. When debt is paid off, money is destroyed. There is never enough to pay off the debt because there would not be $1 in existence. We are at a point where we will either default on the debt or create more money in debt to keep this cycle going. The problem is, if you understand anything about compounding interest, we are reaching a hockey stick moment where the more debt that is incurred, the less effective it is, and this leads us to hyperinflation. There are only two actors needed for this hyperinflation: the lender of last resort, the Federal Reserve, and the spender of last resort, the government. These two can and will blow up the entire system. I believe that they will wait until the next crisis and the whiff of a deflationary depression before they fire up the printing presses. That crisis is coming very soon, as we can only kick the can down the road so long. Money and emergency measures will be worn out. The fact that none of the underlying problems that caused the 2008 crisis have been resolved. The only thing different from the 2008 crisis is that instead of corporate problems, we now have national problems. In this movie, Greece will play the role of Lehman Brothers, and the United States will play the role of AIG. The problem is there is nowhere to kick the can down the road, and there is no world government to absorb the debt yet. This leads me to the top five places not to be when the dollar collapses. Number one on this list, I believe, is Israel. This Anglo-American beachhead into the Middle East was first conceived by the most powerful family in the world, the Rothschilds, in 1917. The Balfour Declaration said that there would be a Zionist Israel years before World War II and the eventual establishment of Israel. Israel has not been a good neighbor and has always had the biggest bullies on the block at its back. When the dollar collapses, the United States will have much more on its plate, both domestically and internationally, to worry about this non-strategic piece of land. This will leave Israel very weak at a time when tensions will be high. This very thin strip of desert land will not be able to stand the economic reality of importing its food and fuel, or the political reality of being surrounded by nations that don't care for it. Second on this list, I feel, is Southern California. The land of fruit and nuts turns into battlefield Los Angeles. 20 million people packed into an area that has no food and water is not good, to say the least. Throw on top of it huge wealth disparities and the proximity to a narco state, and this does not bode well. We've seen the riots for Rodney King, but what will happen when the dollar is destroyed and food and fuel stop coming into this area? Number three on this list is London. The land of Big Brother and the former empire of the worldwide slave and drug trade will suffer heavily. The stiff upper lip that the British elite ingrained in their subjects will not work anymore as the British population explodes. People will sacrifice and unite for any foreign enemy, but not if that enemy has always been the British elite. The Anglo-American Empire may pull off another false flag to distract its population on another Emmanuel Goldstein like in 1984, but I feel this collapse will happen before they can pull it off. This will make all eyes point at the British elite as solely responsible for this catastrophe. We have seen massive riots for soccer matches with hooligans. What will happen when the food and fuel get shut off to this tiny island? Number four on this list is New York City, another large urban area living too high on the dollar hog. New York City is the area I moved out of in 2008. There's little doubt that all of the wealth in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut is a derivative off of Wall Street wealth. The savings and investment for an entire nation and much of the world flows through that financial capital. As the world wakes up to the massive financial fraud, this could lead to the destruction of capital like you've never seen before. This will have tremendous effects on the regional economy, as people driving Mercedes suddenly wonder where their next meal is coming from. The fifth and final place not to be when the dollar collapses is your local metropolitan area. Urban areas in general are a very bad place to be during currency collapses. Too many people packed into tight areas, totally unprepared and dependent upon a dollar paradigm, is the last place you want to be when the dollar collapses. You can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. Ayn Rand. To sum it up, those areas that live highest on the hog in the dollar paradigm will most likely be the worst places to live when the dollar collapses. Most that live in urban areas will probably pass this off as doom and gloom. But rest assured, this dollar collapse is happening. It is a mathematical inevitability. We will not be as fortunate as to muddle through this collapse like we did in 2008 when it was a corporate problem. This time around, it is a national or a global problem. The global Ponzi scheme has run out of gas. As demographics decline, as abundant cheap oil declines, as our global power declines, This comes at a time when we reach our exponential or collapse phase of our money. The irresistible force paradox says, what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? We are about to find out when infinite money hits a very finite world.
All right. Now, what's the solution to that? 1 second, y'all. All right, so what's the solution? All right, so that's why I'm featuring the sister. Let me bring her on and unmute her phone. How you doing, sister? Can you tell the callers what's your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, everyone. My name is Karen Johnson-Gilliam, and I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina.
All right. And can you tell them what you do?
I am a combination of things. I have my own business where I am a leadership empowerment coach for women. I also travel the country with a seminar company. So I conduct seminars all around the country. And third, I like to call myself a CIO, continually inspiring others by educating them on finances and freedom and time that we need. Financial and time freedom are two things that we need, but educating them on money.
Yes. Could you give like some commentary on what you heard so far and what like you agree with or anything you want to add on to what you heard so far?
Oh, my pleasure. Well, first of all, thank you. That should have been the first thing I said, was thank you so much for inviting me on to your program. And based on what I heard between the two clips and what you've said, is that what we're hearing, we sometimes will hear, but we don't believe. And the average person says they'll believe it when they see it. Well, I want to change that. You need to believe it first. Believe it first. And you will see it, but you'll be prepared if you allow yourself to not depend on the government educating you, because if they haven't educated you this far, how do you think they will? And secondly, yeah, is that you are your own advocate for knowing what you need to know when it comes to another financial crisis. If not,
exactly,
if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Exactly. And a lot of people, I tried to tell my cousin before about the Federal Reserve and how important it was to know about the basics of economics, not the school way, but because, and he couldn't understand. He's like, the dollar isn't backed by anything, and how can we buy stuff with it? And so he totally couldn't understand. And that ignorance, which doesn't mean something wrong with somebody, it just means they doesn't know. That ignorance is what the government
right
expects, because the only thing that backs the dollar is faith. We got faith in it, and there's a lot of
right
laws that surround it. But what we're involved in, and I just became a member of Carrot Bars for the past week.
Yes.
And you know, and for the and that's basically just summing up, but the sister, she can explain it better than I can, but it's basically like, you know, we being paid to save our gold. And you sign up
absolutely
for free. It's something that people don't understand, and it's hard. So
mm-mm,
for people to talk to certain people, and you gotta form your own strategy to like get people in. And so, but could you explain what it is? I know
sure
you explain it better than I can.
Carrot Bars was founded by Dr. Harold Seitz in Stuttgart, Germany in 2011. And he grew up poor. He was with his mother and grandmother, who I believe both were alcoholics. And so he didn't grow up with a silver spoon in his mouth. He grew up poor, probably poorer than most of us. And he educated himself, and he is a financial senator in the country of Germany. So when he started this company, and Carrot Bars is an e-commerce company, So what we're talking about is not an MLM, multi-level marketing. It's not network marketing. It is education and, as Jay said, ability for you to get paid to save gold. And so this company, first of all, offers a free gold savings account. They will not ask you for a credit card. They will not ask you for any personal information. They do need to verify that you are who you say you are, because they don't participate in money laundering or fraud. So you will have to give them documentation to show who you are, then you are who is on the ID. But most people, only 1% of the population can save gold. Because when we think of gold, we think of those gold bars, and or we think of jewelry, yeah. Or you think of jewelry, we pay cash for gold. Well, you're getting duped with that, because when you take gold in to those agencies that buy gold, they are going to give you not what the worth of the gold is. They're going to give you what they find is feasible for you to get out of your crisis, and they're going to take all of the gold and melt it down and, of course, earn a lot more. But yeah. Getting back to Karabars, you can come in and all you do is save gold. That's it. You don't have to. The smallest increment of gold that you can get with Karabars is a tenth of an ounce. Now, the quality of the gold is 999.9, the best quality in the world. And you can accumulate at your own pace. There is a program that's called Pay Yourself First, where you can set it up however you like, weekly, biweekly, monthly, and you decide to save a certain amount of gold. They will store it for you for free. And so you say, well, wait a minute. Why would I let them store it? Well, the reason why you let them store it is because you don't want to have gold around your house, but you do have an option. You can have FedEx, who partners with Karabars, to deliver your gold at your request. Then this is a business, and talk to in or read about any of the people like his name just slipped my mind, Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Poor Dad. And talk to people like him, Mike Maloney. Everyone says that you have to position yourself against taxes. Taxes are the way the government gets to pay their debt. If you ever wonder why your taxes are going up and you're getting less of your paycheck, it's because they're taking the taxes to pay off their debt. It's legalized fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Banks, you put your money in the bank, and they use your money to acquire assets. And have you ever noticed you can go into a bank, and let's say you have a large amount of money, which, of course, you only have what you put in. Very seldom are you going to get any type of residual from having the money in their bank. But do you know then they charge you, because you need a certain dollar amount, and they need you to come back the next day to get it, because they are using it. So if banks are saving gold and Federal Reserve is saving gold, why aren't they telling us to save gold? Because we will be destroyed for lack of knowledge. So Karabars has come And I've been a part of different businesses, and Carrot Bars by far is the best because they don't pressure you to do anything. It's up to you. And be careful. Don't point fingers. Because when you point fingers, one finger at someone else, when we try to blame something or someone, look at how many are coming back at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we do our own research. We gain the knowledge. And if you don't do it for yourself, do it for your children. Do it for your children's children. So Jay and I have the free gold savings account, and I'm here to tell you, I have 11 grandchildren. Neither one of them will have to worry about money because I'm doing it now. I'm leaving a legacy for my children. So ask yourself, what legacy are you leaving? Are you leaving debt, or are you leaving them with financial independence?
Yeah, and something I wanted to say real fast before I get you to talk about exactly how it works. And can you hear me? I said before I get to how it works, I wanted to expound on, just piggybacking a little bit off of what you said in terms of like when Trump made cuts to food stamps and HUD, he had initially cut it by $6 billion, then $17 billion over the next couple of years, 10 years or something like that. Those cuts, when he made those cuts, it went into the military budget, which is already $690 billion. And so why would Trump cut food stamps, cut other programs, and cut HUD, which is responsible for Section 8 and housing authority? Why would he abolish that department and then take the money and increase the military? Because something is about to happen. And it's not necessarily something that the government is going to start. It's, they're going to see the people is going to go so crazy, people are going to be in hysteria. People are not just thinking about it. All those rappers with all that money they be flashing, wake up one day and they go spend their money and they look at them like, what is that? We don't take that. Do you have any gold? Do you have anything? And they're not going to understand it. They can't. And we've seen it in the movies. They showed us in the movie Mad Max. And it was a society, the economic, it crashed, the economy collapsed, and some of it was ran by certain drug lords, and then some was ran by government and things like that, just like what's going on in Mexico. We've seen this many times over and over throughout history. The Soviet Union collapsed in 1991 when they tried to introduce new currencies, and then their military had to withdraw from other places because they were the other superpower. And you just studied their economy. Study how it collapsed.
Right.
Study how Mikhail Gorbachev had to resign, and why Boris Yeltsin took over. And what did they do? You see, and they still really haven't recovered, even though they're the largest importer of gold next to China. Because you and your husband were showing me that. I thought China was number one, but Russia, they're number one in importing gold. So you got, and so everybody's trying to get gold and knows about it, getting silver. And so this is what it is. This is people telling people ahead of time, in order for you to be prepared, you have to buy gold. And not just any gold from anybody. This system, like I was going to have this show when I first found out about it, but I said, no, let me go ahead and buy a package. And my package hasn't got here yet because it's coming from Germany. And so, the only thing you have to do, and once they said something about commission, I said, oh, I don't want to do it. Nah, it's something about commission.
Yep.
And then all it is just helping people, telling people what we're doing right now on the radio. What we're doing right now, that's what you're going to do.
Right.
And people are signing up, and people are seeing, like, oh, man, I see how you live, and I see what you're doing. I see that you don't work, and you don't have to work, because the people that's going to suffer in this crash is going to be the people that's depending on these government jobs, and a lot of these AI is taking over, these artificial intelligence that's taking up these cashier jobs, these truck driving jobs, with the 5G technology being rolled out. And then by the studies by Pew Research Center, they said by 2053, the average median household income for black families will be $0. Pew Research Center said by 2053, the average annual median household income for the black family will be $0. You know why? Immigration, automation, and inflation.
Wow. Incredible.
So, but could you speak a little about how it works and, like, you sign up, like, people don't understand? And because there's a, there's a power call every day. You can download the conference call free. It's a free conference call app. That's what it's called. And if your number don't dial out to it, just download that app. Contact me through my email address, ZuluNation80@gmail.com, or call me on my business phone number at 919-298-0272 or Facebook, and you'll see my name up there as Joe Morin Harris. And you can just contact me, and I'll give you a link. I'll give you the information that you need. But could you tell them how it works in terms of signing up and stuff like that, and, you know.
Okay. Jay, I call him Jay. Jay has a link. It's an affiliate link. You know, Amazon, Best Buy, Walmart, other companies have affiliates. They reward people who share about their products. All of it. I mean, it's almost like free advertising for them. But they wouldn't have known about it, so they reward people. So with Care Bars, you have to sign up with someone's link, and you do a free registration. You sign up with your name. You create a username and a password. You get the account. Now, when you get the back office, that is $1 million back office. You get everything. You don't pay a monthly fee to maintain it. Sign up. I tell people there's two ways to sign up. You can sign up as an affiliate, or you can sign up as a customer. In my opinion, signing up as an affiliate is your best way to go. And the reason is you don't have to share it with anybody, but you would get to take the tax write-off for having a home-based business, which is going to help you tax time. As a customer, you don't get that. So why not sign up as an affiliate? Now, as you start saving gold, you want to tell people. And so by you telling people and sharing your link with them, the company says, and this is still for free, we reward you once a month for doing that. And then the business package is you are acquiring an asset. You're not buying anything. You're acquiring an asset. But that positions you to get paid a second time. And actually, that second time, you're paid four times, once a week. So it's once a month under the free version, and then four times when you purchase a package. And in that package, you will get a certain amount of gold and also cryptocurrency. So five times. So in my household, my husband has his own account. He came in under my affiliate. I joined first. So everything he does with the company comes back to me as a reward. I have a business. I signed my business up with an account. So everything I do under the business, my personal account gets rewarded for. And it gets more. I don't want to get too in-depth with that. But all you need to do is get in touch with Jay. Tell him, I want my free gold savings account, and I want it now. And he will give you the link, and you go and sign up.
And I wanted to read this real fast out of my book. We got like 15 more minutes. I wanted to read a part out of my book, The Dark Side of America's School System, and y'all can still contact me with the information I gave you. And I just wanted to read a part, and this is just how can people be not aware? How can that happen? Because this is called, there's a psychological effect called positive hallucination and negative hallucination. Positive hallucination is when you can see something for what it truly is. Negative hallucination is something that be right in front of your face, or somebody could be telling you something and you just can't hear it or can't see it. And because why? We've been molded. We've been miseducated. And so I wanted to read this on page 4 out of my book. And it starts off like, to give you a better understanding of the school system we have here in America now, you first have to understand this type of school training, where it came from, and how does it mold the minds of the children the best way the government sees fit. All right. According to John Taylor Gatto, an American author, the former school teacher wrote and reported in his book, The Underground History of American Education, about how the German government created and molded a desired population. Now, I need to stop. Our school system, because it has everything to do with the lack of awareness with what's going on and what's about to come, and telling people, hey, there's a truck coming, hey, and they just, you know, is a reason for that. So this government got this type of compulsory school system, and for the people that doesn't understand, compulsory is required by law. The government started that in this country in 1852 because in order to get your PhD, you had to go to Germany. A PhD is a German creation. It's a German creation. And the rich, elite, white family, they sent their children over there to Germany to learn this education because they used to lose in the wars to Napoleon. And they figured out, I see why we lose, and we need to make these schools compulsory, and we need to train them, make them respect the government. And so they brought this system back over here to America, and they started implementing compulsory schools in Boston, Massachusetts, with Edward Thorndike, in 1852, and they brought the military to force people's children to go to school every day, and they'll let the children stay with the parents each summertime or whatever to help them with the harvest. So, so I'm gonna continue. Now this is deep. This education system that's what I'm talking about in Germany is still over here. It says this three-tier system of education emerged in the Napoleonic era. One private tier and two government ones. At the top tier, the first half of 1% of the students attended Akademienschulen. Akademienschulen is a German word which means for the masters. Whereas future policymakers, they learned to think strategically and contextually. They learned the complex process of useful knowledge. They studied history. They wrote a lot and argued often and read deeply and mastered tasks of command. The next tier was called Realschulen. Realschulen is a German word, and it means for the managers, which was intended mostly as manufacturing for the professionals like engineers, architects, lawyers, doctors, career civil servants, and such as other assistants as policy thinkers of the times would require. From 5 to 7.5% of the students attended these real schools, learning in a superficial fashion how to think in context, but mostly learning how to manage materials, men, situations, and staff in various policy functions of the state, bringing order to the domain. Finally, now this is what most of us fall up under. Finally, the third tier was called Volksschulen. Volksschulen is a German word, is for the specific, for the scientifically managed, the people that's going to be managed by the other two top tiers that I named, which is the bottom of the pile, which is the group of 92 to 94% of the population attended these people's schools called public schools, charter schools too. These people attended these schools where they learned obedience, cooperation, correct attitude, along with rudiments of literacy and official state myth of history. This universal history of compulsion schooling was up and running by 1819. This type of schooling was adopted by the U.S. government in 1852. So there's a lot of reasons why people have been dumbed down. There's a lot of reasons people don't like to study stuff like this, but it's so imperative in your life. People think this has nothing to do with their life. It's going to be a global economic collapse. It's not just in America. If you got people, life savings in Boston on Wall Street, in the world, people in Indonesia, people in the Philippines, people in all other countries in the world, they got a lot of that stuff that flows through Wall Street. And when it crashes, people don't understand, and they're not going to be ready for it. And then what happens? People don't know how to survive because we've been miseducated. We don't know anything. We only know how to go to the grocery stores, and we don't know how to prepare. But, sister, you could go ahead and speak and give your commentary.
Oh, you do it just well. I also learned that the only reason why we went to public schools was, like you mentioned, it was to prepare you to be an employee. So the manners and the respect, and they taught you just a little to get by. But look at what you were taught in school. Do you apply that to your day-to-day life?
None of the algebra. None of the algebra.
None of it. But it was required. It was required.
You apply the elementary math skill. What you learned in elementary, what we learned in elementary, that applies to us everywhere in terms of the math. Add, subtract, divide.
Right.
We do that every day.
Right. But no algebra. I haven't used algebra since I've been out of school. Foreign language. Well, foreign language, yes, because we are a diversified country, has helped some of us. But it was required. We learned nothing. Yes, they wanted you to do sports, the extracurricular activities, because they wanted you go after that pipe dream.
Yes.
Because do you know how, what percentage of students that go into sports actually make it? It's a small percentage.
Yes.
So
yep.
They are trying to keep us with that lack of knowledge. And because we have had over 40,000 hours of education, that's why it is so hard for people to see an opportunity that Jay and I are talking about.
Yep, and that's what I had spoke on, the reading aspect, because, you know, when people research, of course you got to read. I remember when my book came out, and my cousin, he bought a copy. He said, man, he was looking mad a little bit. He said, man, I hate reading. And he was just saying it. Even though I thought it was ignorant, but he was telling the truth. And he hate reading. And I also put in my book, like, how they cause dyslexia, the look-say method, how they show children a picture of an apple, and then they got the word apple, and they got a picture of a chair, then they got the word chair, a picture of water, then they got the word water. You don't teach English as if it's Chinese. What would happen is this words will start spinning around in the child's face or the children that don't suffer from dyslexia, because Samuel T. Orton is the first person that discovered it in 1929, and there's a Orton Foundation, Dyslexic Foundation in honor of him. And he reported this. He was talking about the new way that the schools are teaching children how to read back in the 1920s. This is what he was talking about. Black folks, our literacy rate was around 92% at one time. Now, you're talking about we got 42% functional literates now. And that's not even literate.
Wow.
See, either you be dyslexic and the children that didn't suffer from dyslexia, you became a functional illiterate. That's a person that can read and write, but their reading and writing is off a little to a lot. They start reading and they start skipping and bumping into words. That's a functional illiterate. How does that happen? Because of the school system and the way that they taught us to read.
And so
what happens is when you grow up, you don't want to research, you don't want to believe that's a conspiracy theorist. And the reason why we don't know about the recession, like I said, because we were born in a recession. Most black folks was born in a recession, so we never owned really too much. But we're going to see a global, this is going to be a global, and I can't talk about it no more than this. So that's why we're talking about Carrot Bars, carrotbars.com. I invested in it.
Yeah.
Now, I ain't even saying invest in it. I ain't even going to use the word invest. I mean, you can use it saying I invest in my children's future. But it's you just preparing. Because, look, when you can't use these dollars, what can you use? All these movies showed you. These people was walking around in economic collapse movies like Mad Max and Red Dawn, and they were finding cell phones with copper in it. And they'll take bottle caps. They'll take anything that was of any substance. And look at the Book of Eli. In the movie, the Book of Eli, they didn't have cash in that movie. Look at it. They telling you stuff that's going to happen in these movies. And we don't that's just a movie because we being entertained. We've been sucked into the entertainment, and we don't understand. And so, Sister, can you tell them any more commentary you want to make, you have, and how to contact you?
Well, I invite your listeners to contact you, Jay, and for it, because this is your program. If they have
or any other business ventures that you have, you said you talked something about females that you have. I forgot.
Yes.
You said something.
Yeah, Leadership Empowerment Coach for Women. So if you need help and direction, interestingly enough, we're coming up on year 2020. Well, 2020 is perfect vision. And I call it the year of perfect vision. You're going to be able to see very clearly in 2020. So if you need help with direction, if you are tired of working a J-O-B, which I call the journey of the broken, then you need perfect vision. And so I help women design their life so they don't have to live by default. So that's what I do.
And, do you have any information where they could contact you if they want to?
Okay. It's best to contact me on Facebook, Karen Johnson Gilliam, and that's my personal Facebook page. There's also a page for Destined to Be Me by Design, and Destined is D-E-S-T-N, the number 2, the letter B, by Design. I'm also on LinkedIn under Karen Gilliam. And those are the best ways to contact me right now. I'm in the process. I will have a virtual training online soon. So the website is not available right now because they are working on that. So, but social media is the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay. And thank you for joining the show, and I hope you come back in the future. And I like to end thank you so much. Before you leave, I like to end my show on this saying I like to say all the time. And it's just something about unification, basically. And it's the word Ubuntu. Ubuntu is an African word, a Southern Bantu African word. And it basically means something about unity and coming together. So how the story goes is, and it actually happened, but it's just a word that the young brother used. That's a historical word. And so there was a white anthropologist, which is a person that studies cultures and stuff, that went to this African country, and he got the black children to play a game. And he took a basket of fruit and sat it by the tree, and he told the children, whoever is the first person to get this basket of fruit wins and get to eat it by yourself. And so the children, instead of running by themselves to get to the tree, as poor as they was, they all held hands and ran to the tree together. And one young brother picked up the basket of fruit, and they all held hands and ran back together, and he put the basket of fruit in the middle, and they all sat in a circle. All the children sat in a circle, and they began to eat the fruit together. The white anthropologist asked the black child that picked up the basket of fruit that won, and he asked him, why didn't you eat this fruit by yourself? You won. You shouldn't share it. And the black African brother said, Ubuntu. And the white anthropologist asked, what does that mean? And he basically responded and said, how can one be happy when everyone else is sad? Mm-hmm. Let's come together, black folks. Let's invest in our children, in the future. And look into carrotbars.com. You might not believe it, but trust and believe. You won't be working your job too much more longer. And so I gave you my contact information. And thanks for joining. And next week's show, I'll be discussing domestic violence and trauma to black children. And thanks, everybody.
Thank you.